It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for the day with our pre-opening report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Slaughter hog prices in the Midwest today are called 50 cents to mostly $1 per hundredweight lower, amid reports that several plants are nearly full for the week. Terminals are called mostly $1 lower, with tops from $44 to $46. Peoria called 50 cents to a dollar lower today, with a top price of $44. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Monday, October 9th, negotiated swine purchases were 20,478. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54.75 to $68.04. The weighted average, $64.65. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.49 to $55, and the weighted average was $50.35. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,911. The base price range was $56 to $69. The weighted average was $66.22. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.75 to $54, and the weighted average was $50.73.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sulla. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, we have decent harvest weather again for the eastern Midwest, at least through the first half of the day today. Then things will start to deteriorate as we have two storm systems coming together, one bringing moisture in from the southern plains. It's already raining across a good portion of Missouri, across eastern Kansas and Nebraska, and all the way down to some heavy storms in Texas. Now, those are several areas that have been in severe drought, especially from the Rio Grande River up through east central and northeastern Texas, and some spots of severe drought to remain across northern Oklahoma and even western Missouri. And again, those areas are getting rain right now, obviously not drought busters, but any precipitation, any moisture does help in the fields there. So the widespread showers across the southern half of the region, slowing or halting field work across the plains, but bringing that much needed moisture for pasture recovery and emerging winter wheat. Some wet snow is falling across the central high plains, and on the northern plains, cool weather limiting wheat emergence and development. For the Corn Belt, again, a few showers developing across the southwestern portion of the region. That would be around eastern Nebraska and through western Missouri in advance of a developing storm system. Elsewhere across the Midwest, dry weather favors fieldwork, except in the eastern Corn Belt where areas are still wet from recent heavy rainfalls. Across the western states, scattered rain and snow showers lingering across the Intermountain region and central Rockies. Dry weather elsewhere does favor the autumn fieldwork. Northwestern winter grain still needs some rain to promote crop development. Unseasonably cold temperatures across the Midwest, across the northern portion today, will start to spread into the rest of the region, with temperatures cold enough for snow in northern parts, and frost and freezes will occur across much of the region at one time or another before the end of this work week. The cold air will also be accompanied by strong winds and some precipitation. Gusts up to around 40 miles per hour expected at times when the rain changes to snow in the uppermost Midwest regions. There may be a few hours of near blizzard conditions. Snow accumulations greatest across the Arrowhead of Minnesota and through northern Wisconsin, but the snow will not last long due to the warm soil temperatures. Across the southeast, it looks like the coldest morning this week will occur Friday in the Delta and Saturday in the southeast. Low temperatures Friday morning will be in the mid to upper 30s in the northern Delta, with some locations, even that far south, looking at the potential for frost. The southern Delta's overnight lows will be in the 40s. Southeast lows in the 30s and 40s by Saturday morning, with frost occurring in portions of Virginia and across northern North Carolina, some of the higher elevations there. By the 17th, by next Tuesday, lows will have warmed back up in that region to the 50s and the 60s. South America, Argentina, no precipitation fell yesterday. High temperatures were in the 70s and lower 80s. Rainfall for Thursday through Saturday this week was increased in the latest computer model runs, with most crop areas in Argentina getting at least a little bit of rain, some amounts of a half to an inch and a half common. Some central and eastern areas will get locally heavy rain. Showers are also expected today and tomorrow, with a few more early next week, but these events will not be as significant as that of later this week. In Brazil, rain was reported from central Minas Gerais to Mato Grosso. Coverage only 25 to 30%, and rain totals mostly under 4-tenths of an inch. Greater rain may have occurred in the Tocantins region, with high temperatures in the upper 70s east to the 80s and 90s in most areas. Some areas in southern Mato Grosso may have reached up to 100 degrees, with a favorable weather pattern dominating the next 2 weeks, supporting both the planting of spring and summer crops and the development of early seeded crops. Rain will fall in all areas at one time or another across Brazil, and there will be sufficient breaks in the precipitation to support field work. The only other persistently drier area will be from northern Minas Gerais through Bahia and further north from there. With the look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Monday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 531 and three quarters, unchanged. Last trade up 13 and a quarter. March, 542 down two, last trade unchanged. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 524, up 30, last trade up 30. March, 521 and three quarters, up 14 and a quarter, last trade up 13 and a half. July, 470 and a half, down 9 and a half, last trade down 10 and three quarters. December corn opened at 288 and a half, down one, last trade down a half. March, $3 and three quarters, down 1 and 3 quarters, last trade down 4 and a half. July, 310 down four, last trade down 4 and 3 quarters. Redline December, 315 down six, last trade down 5 and 3 quarters. The March 2008, 322 down 6 and a half, last trade down 5 and a half. November beans opened at 572, down 2 and a half, last trade down 1 and a half. March, 598, down 1, last trade down 1 and 3 quarters. July, 615 and 3 quarters, down a half, last trade down 2 and a quarter. December soybean meal opened at 169.70, down 40, last trade down 20. October soybean oil opened at 24.72, up 2, last trade up 2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, it was a volatile day yesterday, led on by the wheat trade overnight. We saw another limit-up move in December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade. Will long wheat traders be counting their dollars again today?
Well, supposedly they will be. If we do go up to 30 cents and stay there, we'll be above our competition in prices, so that's kind of something that might keep it from staying 30 higher. But volatile, it's about all you can say. Very tight wheat world supplies, and they have to come here to buy some of it now since Australia doesn't have any.
In fact, we had talk this morning that Australia's wheat crop could be as low as 8 million metric tons. Amazing.
Now, just imagine if we grew 30 to 40% of a crop in Kansas next year, what it would do to our wheat prices.
Mm-mm-mm. And yesterday, the wheat prices actually helped the corn prices, but overnight, that was not the case. Corn decoupled. What are you looking for today?
Well, we're looking for 1 to 3 lower on the corn and the beans. Corn yields are good. Corn supplies worldwide are not near as tight as wheat. They're, tightening a little bit, but they're adequate. And actual bean supplies are, we don't really need that many more beans.
Don't make much sense of this market. You got yesterday the crop production estimates from the trade. Corn, 11.144 billion bushels. And by the way, the trade has underestimated the corn number in the October report the last 7 years. And yet, we are at contract highs.
Right. And we made those highs in the midst of a harvest of a, if not a record year, an almost record year.
So how do you account for that?
Just the panic about the wheat, and it just drug the corn higher. Also, people looking at next year, to all talking about, well, we're going to have $3 corn because we have such good usage and needing 5 million more acres and acres of corn competing against acres of wheat. And all of that's just making people somewhere want to buy even here at harvest when we have adequate supplies.
What do you do with these price levels when you talk to your producers? D's corn 321 yesterday for the red line?
Well, D's corn 321, I think depending on where you're at, you could get about $2.90 to $3 for next year's corn crop. I'd sell 10 to 20% of it.
And cash 10 to 20%.
Yep.
And what about in the beans? Are we looking at $6 post-harvest beans in even with the glut of beans we're seeing?
Well, that's a possibility, but I tend to think not. I think that that could happen next spring and summer, because if we plant 3 to 4 million acres more of wheat and 3 to 5 million acres more of corn, where's it going to come from? It'd have to come from beans, so I'd be looking at beans prices for next year being very much better than this year.
Thank you very much, Pete. Have a great day. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, he is located in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.